With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Buddy, recruiting animal here. I didn't turn off my own speaker, and while the show was coming on, I was playing the music, and what do I hear? An advertisement for back pain! An advertisement for back pain! People come to listen to me. When do I get on? First, there's an ad for back pain. Anyway, it's March 13th, 2013, in case you don't know, and I just have to tell you, I had to call in three times today before I was allowed in by the system on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you! Freaking out. Anyway, the other day, in fact, yesterday, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me how he learned to drive. When he was 16 years old, he got his temporary driver's license. That's what the rules were back then. They've changed. Anyway, his father, a genius, decided that this kid didn't need to go to a driving school. He was going to teach him himself. So they got in the car. The father started telling them very emphatically, don't do this, don't do that, do it this way. And he was getting very excited and worked up before the kid even put the key in the ignition. So my friend, he said, Dad, I think I'm going to take the driver's education class down at the school. And when I heard this, I thought, well, this dad was just a normal guy. He didn't have any education about managing people. No one told him how to teach. No one told him how to manage conflict. And here he was in total charge of somebody. It's pathetic. It's a pathetic situation. Now, we used to think that a business ran much the same way, with some bully who didn't have a clue about people management bossing everyone around. And that is how it used to be. Everything was top down. It was called the waterfall technique, the waterfall technique, from top to bottom. Then in 1983, this guy named Jeff Sutherland, he saw that wasn't working very well at his company, and he came up with the Agile Management System. Now, sophisticated people are apparently bringing the stuff they learn at work home. They're bringing it home to manage their own families, and specifically, this Agile system is very popular. So I started thinking, what does recruiting teach you that can make you a good parent? And I concluded, not very much. What's a recruiter going to do when his kid brings home his report card? He's going to look at it and say, hey, if I was an employer, I wouldn't hire you for grade five. I wouldn't even send you a follow-up email. Because our job is not about nurturing people. It's about going fishing and then separating the sheep from the goats. That's why recruiting isn't a job. It isn't a job for extroverts. I wasn't sure you could hear me. It isn't a job for extroverts. And it isn't a job for people who like people. It's a job for tough guys who have the guts to say, you're no good. And somebody's going to heaven, but it isn't going to be. No! So do you think I'm mean? Well, I'm sorry! But that's the way the world was made, and that's the way we do it on Jerry Jerry! What show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Until You tried to drag it out too long.
Yeah,
too
I think
far.
You cut me off.
Come
too
on.
Soon, man. You got to sense when I'm running out of air and keep the music going. Then you fade that out and you mix
soon.
Over,
I know,
man.
I know.
You
I
could
know,
not
I
handle to... MC in a party.
Okay,
you just hit like the stop button on the CD, then you stick another one in there.
I was just experimenting. I thought it might
well,
help you, okay? I didn't know you were going to drag it out
wait,
forever.
Wait.
You don't have to do that. That's
dude,
too
you
much of a good thing.
All right. All right.
Okay, look, there's people out there. I'm using the handset today instead of the headset. I want to see if I can come through as nice and clear and richly as Jerry so I can talk over him. Can you tell me if how I'm coming through? Is it too loud, too sharp? Because I listen to the recording, and you can barely hear me. I'm talked over by everybody, and I don't like that, okay?
You sound all right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you don't
know,
have any particularly
right
golden voice like me,
what do
but
you
then
know?
Again, I do.
You sound a little muffled.
Why are you always calling from a crappy phone? I'm sick of it.
I'm on a good phone!
Yeah,
it's a
really. Tell him, Mike.
Phone. It's a top-line phone. I'm calling on the Bell line.
Yeah, hey, Alan Fleur sounds like he's at the bottom of a fish barrel. So don't
oh,
trust
don't
his
give
input.
Me any flack, Jerry.
You sound
okay.
bad.
Look, you guys, now I'm
oh,
going to talk over
oh,
you.
Thank
I wanted
you so
to
much.
Check. Reed Creamer, Reed Crispy Creamer, our guest today. Are you here?
Absolutely, Animal. I'm right here. It's Reed Creamer, but that's okay.
Okay, Reed, I you know what? On this show, I tell you what your name is. Okay, that's how it works. But anyway,
it doesn't
look,
matter what your name is. Is that what you're
yeah,
trying to tell
right.
me?
Okay. No, look. I got to tell you, I'm going to bring on a guest before you. Not for too long. His name is Chuck Krugel. He's an employment lawyer in Chicago. He's an old friend of our show,
yeah.
And he answers all our legal questions.
Everyone.
I want to know, is that all right with you?
Sounds good to me, Animal. Let's get Chuck going.
Okay, Chucky, are you here?
Yes, Animal, I'm here. How are you?
You're normal, calm. I guess that's good in your job, being, you know, stable sounding. But I don't want you to sound so stable when you're talking to me, okay?
Let me shoot
just
up some
think
heroin
about
real
that.
Quick, and then we'll get going.
Think about that. Well, welcome back to the show. Now,
thanks.
I asked you here for a specific reason, and so it's only really one question, but I have to admit I've dragged it out this morning thinking about it. Last week, I was listening to another radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, and the guest said that LinkedIn could be accused of being racist, because most of the profiles are of well-paid, educated, well-educated white men. And I flipped out. Is that true?
I don't think so. To me, LinkedIn is very egalitarian. And and actually, when you contacted me about that, I read some articles. And one article I read was kind of interesting. It was a 4-year-old article that was very alarmist, and a lot of quotes by employment attorneys claiming that, yeah, there could be issues. And then I read a rebuttal to that by a non-attorney, a guy who's just a blog writer, and he had a very good rebuttal to that, basically saying that you know, LinkedIn and a lot of these social networking sites are very egalitarian. They're open to everybody. Basically, if you want somebody who's able to read or write, it's a good place to look for people.
Can
yeah,
someone
but,
define egalitarian?
You know, it's equal. It's open to everybody.
Yeah,
thank
there's
you.
No barriers. Anybody
yeah.
can join. But this woman said that you can be accused of disparate impact, which you told us all about. I learned about it from you. If you only use LinkedIn as your sourcing grounds because you're limiting yourself to these evil, well-paid, well-educated white men. That's and so resume strategy, I hope she doesn't mind my saying so, but she posted on Twitter, what are you supposed to do? Fish where the fish aren't? I mean, what's up with that? I don't get it.
Hypothetically, it could be true if it's statistically proven that LinkedIn is basically discriminates against minorities. You know, if
yeah,
the numbers
no,
clear
but
out.
The point is, in law, you told us that it's not, I think actually I heard disparate impact before I spoke to you, just so you know, okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, if they could say, if you're only going to LinkedIn, it doesn't matter if LinkedIn isn't intentionally racist, but objectively, in its effect, you're only going to the people who feel comfortable on LinkedIn, and you're ignoring everybody else.
Well, first of all, in order for it to be disparate impact, it has to be proven that LinkedIn is discriminatory by the numbers. And I don't think that's been proven. I don't think anybody really knows
that. Yeah,
but
it doesn't matter. Here's my point. It doesn't matter if LinkedIn discriminates. It matters if it's popular among a certain crowd. And you have to go where all kinds of people find things popular. You can't go into one place if it's not popular with everybody. Is that true?
No, not really. I mean,
good.
If it's popular among if LinkedIn is popular among Coke drinkers more than it is among anybody else, and it's proven that Coke doesn't discriminate on the basis of race, gender, you know, any protected class, then who cares?
Okay.
So wait a minute. You're saying that recruiting on the KKK website is off limits?
Come on. They have barriers. They got barriers. Okay,
yeah,
what about
barriers.
The issue of pictures? She also said, LinkedIn might get sued someday for giving too much information about its members because it's really a recruiting ground. And you can see their picture, you can see where they went to school, you know, their full name, et cetera.
You know, it's funny because ironically, one of the articles I read, and it was on one of these articles where they cite, where they quote all these attorneys, it's workforce.com. In order to register for workforce.com, they ask you your gender. So, I'm not buying it either, the whole photo thing and all that. Yeah, it could be used for discriminatory reasons, but it's not discrimination per se.
Okay, so you think if they were going to get sued by the government, for instance, it would have happened already?
No, not necessarily, but I don't think the lawsuit would bear out. I don't think it would, result in
anything. Just two more quickie questions that are different. If I ask my guest today if he thinks middle-aged workers – think they know they're arrogant, they know more than everybody, so they're not as inclined to learn as younger people, and they especially don't want to learn if they have a boss who's younger than them. And if he says, yes, that's true, can he get in trouble with the government? Is it dangerous to talk too freely about hiring issues on this show?
Yeah, I think if you're talking in terms of your business, who you tend to hire, yes, but if you're talking in general, your own opinion, and you're not a hiring person, and you're not giving.
We're all recruiters here. We're in danger. Finally, what about if I say Marissa Meyer is attractive, am I in danger of getting accused of being sexist or something like that?
No, because attractive is a pretty broad word.
Okay. Anybody else got a question for Chucky? Comment?
It might be valuable if he stays on for what I have
Kathy
to say.
Does.
Animal.
Thank you. I've lost my voice here, but. How can it be discriminatory if the audience that signs up for LinkedIn does it voluntarily?
Yeah, that's
LinkedIn
what he said, Kathy. Maybe you should be a little more hoarse, and you wouldn't be able to ask the question that's already been answered. Okay.
Yeah, but she sounds sexy, so it's all good.
Okay. Now I wouldn't have recognized her if she
Here
hadn't
we
said.
Go.
Okay. Now Mike Astringer wants to talk about something, Chuck, and he wants you here for security. Can you stay just a little longer?
Sure.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
So I thought it would be valuable for other company owners and practitioners to hear what happened to me recently. In the last week, it's come to my attention that a company offshore has created a website under my company name, Human Capital Consultants, at a different domain. And they're facilitating a phishing scam, excuse me, under my company name. So they're reaching out to people who have their resumes posted on the internet. They're presenting themselves as my company, even using one of my old business addresses, and directing candidates to a website where they're uploading their banking information, their personal information, etc. I've gotten literally 150 calls and emails from people trying to verify this, including an older woman last night who called me crying because she had given them her banking information.
Some idiot put us on hold and we're listening to their music. Sorry, Mike.
Talk a little louder about that.
No, that's fine. But so A, I want people to be aware of this, and I want to make sure that, all of you are setting up Google alerts of your company name, because this is actually how I first found out about it. It was posted on some scam warning website. But for your attorney guest here, Animal, my question is, I'm really at a loss here. I've called my own attorney. My own attorney said that we could go into federal court and get a restraining order, but probably not much we could do. Because it is an offshore entity.
Yeah, don't bore the audience. Make it quick.
And I've contacted the FBI, and they seem to have very little interest at all in this.
Okay. Well, Chuck, what could he do?
Yeah, he's done about as much as he can. I've actually had the same issue myself with my domain name and people using that for phishing with email addresses, things like that. And about all you can do is, he's done all you can do. And basically, if anybody comes after you, you're protected. for the most part, but there's not a lot you can do against the offshore businesses doing that type of stuff. I've actually gone as far as tracing, doing some searches on some of the sites that were using my name or, you know, my domain, and then tracing them back and sending them emails myself saying stop it, and they actually helped that work to stop it, so I haven't had that done for a few years now. So you might want, you know, this type of those Whois searches, the donate, the IP.
Yeah, I actually emailed the email address they're using and said and told them that I've contacted the FBI, and I also called the phone number on their website and yelled at them, but they weren't intimidated by me.
Yeah, they won't be intimidated, but they should stop shortly, because after I did that for a few months, and it took about 6 months or so, but then they stopped. So I found it to be effective.
Six months is effective. Okay.
I'm just left after that story there. I'm just left thinking, out of all the business identities in recruiting to steal, why grab A Stringers?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why grab CharlesAKrugel.com? I mean,
CharlesAKrugel.com. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to tell everybody this is Charles Krugel, K-R-U-G-E-L. He's an employment lawyer in Chicago. He's going to be back in a few weeks for another question about culture and diversity.
Ooh, and I love that. CharlesAKrugel.com.
Chuck, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Animal. Appreciate it.
And okay. Jerry, to answer your question, because it's a powerful brand.
All right.
Yeah, it's a powerful brand.
The name's too long.
I just want to chew someone out. Area code 818, it's you who
did
that. Okay, I found out. Don't do it again if you're on, okay? I'm going to open that guy's mic and see who, you know.
I'm going to research that real quick.
There it is.
It's Alan Fleur. He does that all the time.
Well, he's not going to talk again on this show. Well, I turned off Jerry by accident. Okay.
He didn't turn me off. Was that really a mistake?
There he goes. Okay, Mr. Kramer, are you there?
Absolutely, I am.
You know what? I don't know if we have time for Taylor Swift. You want to go for it?
You know, we don't need to do it, but I thought you liked
Skip
that part.
Skip it. That's the worst part of the show. Skip it.
I know Jerry.
I know Jerry's been waiting all week to get his hands on me.
I learned
this song for him. Let's just do it. You lead me, okay? Because I just learned it a few minutes ago.
What one are you doing?
Taylor Swift, I Knew You Were Trouble. We're going to do the chorus, okay?
This is a little shout-out for The Office here. This is a special song for us.
Okay. Are you going to lead me?
Ready for it?
Yeah.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in.
Shame on me now. I flew to places I've never been.
Shame on me now. You flew to places I've never been. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Great. Wow. He was actually going for it, man.
Yeah.
And that was real. That was real. That was
from the heart. I'm gonna get things moving. I'm going to introduce them. I don't think everybody's that interested to find out that LinkedIn isn't racist. Any normal person knows that, except if you're a nut. Okay. But anyway, Reed lives in Denver. He enthusiastically for some other idiot is using the bull button. I can't believe it. These jerks. He enthusiastically forges new relationships for his employer, an IT recruiting company, and his expertise is in business development, recruiting, and networking. Okay, his expertise, this is from the ad, his expertise in business development, recruiting, and networking are the tools which allow him to effectively serve his clients and candidates.
Dude, that is exactly the same as my profile. Like, I don't have that on there, but, like, that's me, too.
He effectively serves them, and prior to his work at his current company, reconducted a nationwide searches as a recruiter of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. If you look on LinkedIn, he's got himself as a therapy recruiter or something like that.
That was the last position, but...
Yeah, therapy recruiter. I mean, that's an intriguing conversational starter. Therapy recruiter? What's that? Okay, he's got a business administration degree with a concentration in human resources management. Then you want to tell us what you really do?
Absolutely.
Don't say absolutely, okay?
I do business development in the IT space. Software research and development is our niche, period.
Okay, is it for contract IT guys or all kinds?
My team does contract, but we have direct hire here as well. I specialize in contract.
Okay, you know, I shouldn't have read that formal thing. I'm sorry, everybody.
Hey, no, Reed, I'm sending you a LinkedIn connection right now, but I'm going to say in advance, I'm just typing this in, great job on the show today, but just know that I reserved the right to redact that later on.
I think that's fair, Jerry, and I know you've been waiting for this opportunity with me for a couple days here and getting fired up, so.
Yeah! Now, here's the issue, Reed. We've got an issue with people complaining to me about these Gen Y job hoppers, people who don't stay long enough at one recruiting firm to learn the business, and before you know it, they're on another one! Come on!
No
you
way.
Gen Y guys have a bad rap, and looking at your LinkedIn profile seems to stand it up. But I say to all the people who've come to me in the last few days with that complaint, I say, look, there's a reason Gen Y doesn't stay at one job for long. They get a little bit of experience. They know they're not going to be able to move up as fast as they want in their own company, so they go somewhere else for a promotion. Is that the logic of your career?
You know, I wouldn't really say that's it. I say I was in places that weren't a good fit for me, and now I'm somewhere where it is a good long-term fit, period.
So what's long term? You're going to be there 3 months?
Well, I've been here a little bit over a year, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, I can tell you that.
So
you
even if
just
Kathy Manis
yourself.
Was to offer you $5 more an hour, you're not going to move on?
You know, during that singing, we lost a ton of listeners. Okay,
I tried
so
to tell you that, man. It's people hang up on it. It's crap.
You know, I listened to it from last week, and I really liked it. And I asked the guy to prepare, and he's got the guts, unlike most people, to actually sing on the show. I have
Dude, here's what you really ought
to
do,
well.
like David Letterman or some of these people, have an actual musical group perform.
Get somebody for me. I can't. Look, Marissa Meyer, the ice queen of Yahoo, she got in trouble this
Hottie.
Week for saying, that new hires have to come from prestige schools. And my good friend, Gene Leshinsky, an IT recruiter, he said on Facebook, thank God my hiring managers understand that hiring would stop if education was a key requirement. Some prefer no education and a passion for development. Reed, what do you think about that?
I mean, he's right on. We can't look at education that way in our space. Good programmers are good programmers. It doesn't matter where they went to school.
Jerry?
I agree.
Mike, but you agree they should at least have a computer science degree, right? I mean, without the fundamentals of engineering.
I don't always agree with that. No, I don't.
It sure helps, though, and it helps me sort between a couple people. But if someone has experience, say, in C#, WPF, development, verifiable, that you can talk to a reference and they say, yeah, that guy's great. What do I care about a degree?
I guess interesting topic for another time, because the startup clients I work with, most of them won't hire somebody without an engineering degree, and specifically computer science degree.
Hey, can I borrow a C# WPF contractor in Boston?
Let me ask
seriously,
you,
seriously.
Mike,
this is no joke.
Mike, you business after this show. Are these startup companies, they're looking for a higher grade of person. Is that right?
I think that's very accurate, yes. They're looking for the person that's going to come in and roll up their sleeves and wear many more hats.
So, Reed, are you working for – what kind of clients do you have? Are they startups? Or because I read – in fact, I'll tell you something else. I read on your company website that Denver is a hotbed for startups and that everybody's looking for the same thing. Is that true?
You know, it definitely is a hotbed for startups in Boulder, even more than Denver. If you know, Boulder is a big hotbed for startups. But – I have clients all across the spectrum. I have big clients, I have medium-sized clients, and, yeah, I have the startups as well.
Okay, are those startups looking for different kind of people?
Yes and no. It depends. Everyone, every company is different, every client is different, but...
But we're talking about
categories. Yeah, a lot of them are looking for, you know, they're talking about these people that wear many hats. I'd say that's absolutely true in a startup environment. I mean, you just don't have the luxury of being able to hire someone that can just do one very, very specific thing. People have to be flexible in those type of situations.
Good answer.
Okay, I didn't understand
I like it,
but I heard that these guys for the startups, the people who are good for startups, they're actually being, you know, if Facebook is looking for something, everybody's looking for the same kind of guy. So they're being deluged by, you know, messages from recruiters, and they're actually withdrawing their online profiles so they can't be approached so easily. Are you finding that's true?
I haven't seen much of that, no.
You disagree with that?
I do. Okay. And
I'll tell you this, Animal. Every software engineer that I get in Boston from an agency or otherwise comes to me with 3 to 5 offers in hand.
Yep. It's the same thing in Denver.
What do you mean? They've already got 3 to 5 offers and they're still talking to you?
They're either actively interviewing and close to the offer stage, or they've got offers in hand, and they're in the very positive position of being able to choose between multiple companies, meaning that we have to get our interview process completed within a few days to even be able to compete.
Right.
That's absolutely true. The hiring processes have to be efficient. They have to be quick. The candidates are running this marketplace, not the clients.
Okay. The guy I heard, he said that if somebody comes on the market, so who's suitable for a startup, they're not going to be there for long. You should be ready to hire in one day if the person's good. Does that ever happen with you?
It does sometimes. I mean, I think one day maybe is a little bit quick, but if you can't have your hiring process done in a week, you're probably going to miss out.
Now, do you have to train your clients to realize that? Because I heard that these founders of these startups, they're very aware that they, you know, they live or die with the guys they hire. And so they're always on the prowl for good people, and they're ready to pounce. Are they smarter than the average hiring manager?
They are. And we do have to train our clients in getting them ready, you know, to run their hiring processes the right way. We have a thing we call send to start here where, you know, we send a candidate, if it's a position where this is possible, we say, hey, you know, if you're ready for them, here they are, here's their background, here's a reference we already ran on them, and they can start on Wednesday. Let's go. And you have to train your clients like that. You do.
Are you talking about
contract or
full-time?
If the guy says, I want to see 2 more people before I pick this guy,
contract.
What do you say?
I oblige, and that's fine, but you know, they have to know full well that they might lose that person.
Yeah,
it's
but
a
no,
reality.
No. Here's the point. It's not just him losing them. It's you guys losing them. You're sending them out here. I don't know if you send guys to multiple companies at the same time?
We do.
Oh, okay. So if he loses them, this hiring manager, he might lose them to one of your other clients. You won't lose that placement because this guy isn't ready to act when he should. Is that right?
Well, he might lose them to one of our other clients, but no, I mean, we could lose them to somebody, you know,
so
that they went through on their own or somebody else.
These guys, don't you? Hey, buddy, smarten up. I'm not going to work for you to blow my money on some other company, okay? Not to hand over my candidates that I struggled to get out to you. Hand them over to some other recruiter. You want to play for the other team? I'm going to fire you as a client. Do you ever say that?
I have had those types of conversations. They're hard ones, but they have to happen.
And let's be clear, too, Animal, he's talking about contract, not full-time placement.
What are you saying, Mike?
Well, I'm saying there's a difference. I mean, somebody could send me a contractor and say, you need to move on this person in 24 hours, and chances are we can. Mm-hmm. It's much, much, much different when you're talking about a full-time employee.
Yeah,
is
I
it?
Agree with that. Yeah,
why?
Absolutely.
Why is it different? Because you're stuck with the person for a longer time?
You know what? When you bring somebody in full-time, there's a lot more cultural aspects that come into play, as well as expanded skill sets.
Nah,
if you bring in a contractor to do
that.
What's that?
Then, Animal, you don't have any idea what you're talking about, and you shouldn't pursue this one because you're way wrong.
See,
well,
you
tell
know,
us
we
the truth,
we
Jerry.
Pulled a...
Testify, Jerry. Tell us what's up.
Here we go.
Let's say that your car's busted. And you're looking for a mechanic. You need the mechanic that can fix your car, not one that you're going to want to hang out and have dinner with, invite over to your house over the holidays, and work with them for years. You need a job done. You get a contractor. They do it.
You
they end up staying longer if they're really good and personable. But if they're not, they do the job and move on.
Well, the thing is, I agree. I mean, like, these guys, apparently, if Facebook is looking for people, they're absorbing people. Everybody's looking for, like, these Ruby on Rails guys. If you get one, forget about whether you like his face or his smile or the way he dresses. I mean, you need a guy who can do the job. That's
right.
The key.
Yeah, isn't that's what
Reed?
They just said.
It is.
I'd also venture
I'm
to say that the person
that
that's looking
yes.
to go to work for Facebook
to both
is not going to look good
for
them.
You have the backbone to say that to somebody, or are you going to let them blow your money? I want
to
know what's what.
We blow your money. What are you talking about? Who's blowing your money?
Jerry,
no,
if
the
he
animal
sends somebody out, if there's a really small window for hiring this person because they're getting offers from everybody, and if you send them out to your client and he says, oh, I want to see more people first, or I don't like the three, I don't think he's great for our culture, you say, You know, if he's going to screw around like that, he's going to blow your placement. Your placement is your money. You can't waste time on people like that.
Right.
Yes.
And you find, though, that you're going to know that before you would even, much earlier in the relationship. You're not going to just find out when you put somebody in front of your manager that he wants to interview several people or he's not sure. You already talked to him about, hey, when do you need somebody to start? What's your process?
Let Reed say something. I can hear he wants to say
something. Yeah, you know. I agree with you right there, Jerry. It's really important to set expectations right away. I don't want to get to the point where I'm submitting candidates and getting deep in the process, and then they're telling me, oh, I need to see more people. I don't know.
Man, I'm going to go a step further, though, Reed. I don't really think that we're – I say I'm going to go a step further. I don't think we're really in the position to set expectations. We need to understand what their expectations are. Bigger difference. And
no,
once you get there, you'll be there.
I don't agree, Jerry. In your position...
You are flat wrong!
Or the position that this guy's in with these startup companies...
I'm going to tell you how it's going down, Mr. Manager. Or Miss Manager. Miss Manager, sorry to offend any ladies.
Jerry, can we just qualify Animal's answer by asking him the last time he's actually made a placement?
No,
hold on a contract placement in a high-demand niche marketplace.
Exactly. Okay, hold on a second. This is common sense. You don't even have to know anything really about recruiting to answer this one. If it's in Denver,
let's let Reed answer.
Then Reed will answer in a second. In Denver, there's a lot of startups. There's a lot of competition for these people. He just agreed with Mike Aestringer that they've all got multiple deals. You got to show your muscle to your clients in advance, just like you said, in advance of sending out people. Say, look, Miss Hiring Manager, I'm going to send out a very good person to you. You know, I'm not going to send out three. If you see this person, I've got a good reference. Everything's we know he can do the job. If you don't hire him, I'm not going to deal with you again. I'm going to give him to somebody else. Okay? I'll come back to you if nobody else wants him. You got to make that clear from the start. Reed Creamer, what do you say?
I think that's right on. I mean, I don't think it's right on that I'm just going to send one, but yeah, you have to let them know that.
Why not?
We have to move
one
on these
people.
It sounds
like it's hard to come by these guys. Why do you have to wait till you have three?
I wouldn't wait. I'd send the first one right away as soon as I had the first one. But we're not going to stop searching at one because, like we said, you know, they're dealing with 3 to 5 offers at a time. We have to have backup candidates ready too.
I don't think they're all dealing with 3 to 5 offers. Let's take that off the table. They might
not
have a couple.
Not every single one, no. But
not even half. Come on now. No
Jerry,
way.
I mean, if you're talking about Ruby on Rails in Boston, 5 offers.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking some.
Yeah, then I'm
going to
get out of that, and I'm going to go where it's a little less. But then again, I don't want to tell you guys all about how to be like me because, you know, there's not enough room here in the Midwest for what I'm pulling off. You guys go ahead and play Wishbone over every single resume that comes along. You have at it, kids.
Maureen, anything on Twitter that we should be aware of? Are you keeping your eye? I can hear you.
I'm keeping my eye out.
I see there's tons of comments. Has nobody said anything worth asking or passing on here?
It's mostly just fan mail for Jerry.
Fan mail, he's right.
I mean, it's such an opportunity to have me as a guest that I think people tuned in.
Animal.
Yes.
Animal.
Yeah. Who is it?
I have a question. How do you handle the client that says, I'll know it when I see it? Good man. Good question.
How would Animal know? They never see it from him.
Reed.
Send him a link to some porn.
Reed. Is that a reasonable question?
I'm sorry. Please repeat the question. I'm getting distracted with Jerry and his ridiculousness over here.
Yeah.
I would like to know how you respond to the candidate or the client who you send, you know, 2, maybe 3 awesome profiles, and they say, yeah, maybe, not sure. I'll know it when I see it. I'll know the right one for me when I see it. So just keep sending them. Just open your little drawer of people and send
good
them
question.
To me
yes.
until
yeah,
everyone's going to like
it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you have to drill down further than that, and you have to be candid with them and tell them, you know, that's not an answer to me. What was wrong with this candidate? Is it, you know, something that you're seeing when you have a first glance at the resume, or is it, you know, what is it that you exactly don't like that makes you think, I'll know it when I see it, but this isn't it. If this isn't it, it's something. What is it?
Okay, so you've got a backbone. Is that what you're trying to tell us? You're a tough guy.
I do.
You're not a guy who likes people. You're not in the business because you like people. You're in the business because you like separating the good people from the bad people and telling clients how it is. Is that right?
I think there's a lot of people out there that can vouch for me that I only like very specific people.
I have a question, though, Reed. Would you mind if I ask the questioner there to refine, is that manager saying, I'll know it when I see it, when they're talking to you about the position, or is that their answer when you've introduced a candidate that can do the job, and then they say, I'll know it when I see it, and this, it, and it. So original question,
Gary, I'll answer that question. I've been in the position where you bring in two guys who are very good for the job, and they say, no, they're not right. And you say, well, what's wrong? Are they too senior? No, I want people just like them. They're making too much money. You know, I don't want to say what the money is exactly. Just go out and get some more for me. They do that. They do it.
Is that why you got out of recruiting?
Go ahead, Jerry.
I was just asking.
You know, funny, I have vendors that all the time are like, you know, I haven't gotten feedback from you. What do you think of this candidate? Asking me seven times. The fact of the matter is, if I'm not responding or I'm asking for more candidates or whatever, obviously I'm not impressed with the guy you sent me. Keep sending him. I mean, the whole, I'll know it when I see it. It's all just excuses.
Okay, I want to move
when the right guy comes to my inbox, I'll know it.
You know what, but you have to give people the benefit of the doubt sometimes. It's not always that you don't love the candidates that were sent to you. Maybe you had a meeting come up. Maybe you had something come up. You know, my clients have stuff like that, so I am going to touch again and make sure they saw those resumes and talk to me about the feedback there. But at the same time, I'm adding value every time. So I send the candidates, and maybe they haven't gotten back to me yet. I'm going to get back with those candidates, find out when they can interview, and get back and say, hey, I know you hadn't heard back from me on these candidates yet. Here's some times they could interview if you want to interview them, but let me know what you're thinking.
Yeah, you're answering a different question. Okay.
You just said you're adding value every time. So you go back, you touch this client again, you follow up with an email, whatever. You're adding value every time. What's the value? What's different from conversation one to conversation four?
Yeah, I want to ask a different question.
Wait a minute. That was a good question. What value are you adding if you're calling back a manager who clearly doesn't like your guy and suggesting, hey, this dude can be there Friday afternoon, even though you didn't take the hint that that's not the guy?
I don't want to assume that they clearly don't like my guy. Like I said, there's a lot of reasons sometimes that they don't get back with you. It's not 100% all the time that I hate your candidates that you've said.
It's 90%.
And you know what? If I feel like I need to go get a restraining order against you, then you're not adding value.
We're just trying to help you, kid.
You know, that brings up another interesting question of mine. If you actually do send out three candidates and they really love the one of them and make an offer and the guy turns them down, will you talk them into taking the second?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On what basis? Since he wasn't the first choice or she wasn't the first choice. And they were in love with number one, right?
Like Jerry was saying, you know, if I believe that candidate one and candidate two can do the job, but candidate one was the first priority, considering, you know, I'm looking at contract jobs most of the time, maybe contract to hire, take a look at the second candidate. They can also do the job. They'll be a good fit as well.
Here's the number one reason why I stopped working with external recruiters. Because they think they know what I need better than I do.
And it's Animal's phrase, would you talk them into number two? I hate that. We're not here to talk anybody into anything. We're here to uncover what they would do, present that, and then make that happen. You're not talking anybody into anything, Animal.
You're a dope, Jerry.
You are.
Those three people out for interviews. He talked to the hiring manager. She said, okay, let's send these out. Those guys were qualified already. It's not like they don't.
Qualified by who? Who qualified?
It's by the recruiters, and the company said, I'll see them. I'll see those guys. They send the resumes.
Yeah.
They're
qualified to interview.
Yeah, that's
fine.
They're
qualified to interview. They're not qualified
to
do the job.
No,
who do you think we are out here, Animal?
When Animal says talk them into candidate two, I'm talking talk them into considering candidate two. I'm not saying talk them into absolutely taking that candidate.
Here's what Animal means when he says talk them into. He means talk them into.
What he means is, I have no one else. This is the only person I've been able to recruit this year. Please take my candidate so I can pay my rent.
Take this guy.
Okay, I got to tell you, I was speaking from personal experience. The number one candidate,
which is rare,
they offer $10,000 more than the job was paying to get that guy. He decided against it. So then we had number two, not as super, not as charismatic or whatever you want to say. The other guy just was great. His talent slapped you in the face. He said no. And so this second guy was a good candidate, but just not flashy like that. So we assumed he wouldn't have gone out there if he wasn't good. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. But I have another question. If you're in Denver and there's big companies and small companies all around the country looking for the same kind of programmers, how do you get people, the candidates, to look at the smaller companies when there's big companies that want them as well? Or can't you? Are you only limited to the small companies taking the leftovers?
No, they're not at all. There are different types of programmers out there that want different things. You know, the startups will offer a lot more freedom a lot of times. Maybe they're letting them work from home. Maybe they're letting them do this and that, have flexible schedules. Maybe they are a lot more interesting than working for some of the big companies. You might go to a big company and do something really boring or have a very small role in what their overall software product is. You go to a startup, they're going to let you learn, get opportunities working on lots of different things and having a more well-rounded path there.
Great answer, Reed. Great answer. Also, Animal, can I describe, maybe give you an analogy? A contractor is, picture it like a plumber. Plumbers work in little houses, big houses, all over. They don't, you're putting too much emphasis on the longer term, bigger company that can attract these people. These are contractors that like a variety of different projects. They get paid well to go over here for 4 months, over there for 9 months, and do these different projects.
Jerry,
so they're not making this long term career decision.
Maybe I have to teach you something. Some of these contractors,
feel free to try.
They stay on the job on a contract that lasts 4 years. The company just doesn't want
to
hire
one out of 20.
Jerry, you're also trying to make an explanation to a person who thinks Facebook is a startup.
True. It is a newer kind of company, though.
I didn't say that, but look, a company, a big
contractors
company,
don't stay there for many, many years. It's very rare.
A big company has more money than a startup that's scraping by, right? And our friend, Casey, Recruits DC, told us last week that, you know, he can wine and dine these guys all he wants, but if someone offers them $1 an hour more, they're out the door, okay? Money means a lot to these contractors. And so don't these bigger companies have deeper pockets to pay them more? That's a reasonable question,
you know,
isn't it?
But part of that extra dollar or $3 also has to do with the contract vendor, the guy, the recruiter, me, Reed, Casey. Will we accept a lower margin? It's not about what our customer pays. It's not a cut and dry thing that these bigger companies can pay more and the smaller companies can pay. Dude, all I'm saying is you're on the outside with your nose pressed up against the window looking in on something that you don't really understand.
Reed.
There's more than money, Animal.
I want you to remember something before you answer. Jerry's your enemy. Don't try to suck up.
I'm not your enemy, dude. I haven't decided to tackle Denver yet. I'll let you know.
Okay, well, I got a question. I got another question. You always wanted to, you know, call in and talk, and so here.
Yeah.
So you guys start with the candidates driving the market, and it's all on the candidate because these guys are hard to find, 3 to 5 offers in hand. But then on the other hand, you say, well, I'm just going to let the client say, nope, 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 maybe. So, you know, do you tell the client, listen, you're not in charge. You're the one with the checkbook, but you're not in charge. The candidate is, or does it depend on who you're talking to?
It depends on who you're talking to, but I wouldn't, you know, when you're saying we're let the client go, you know, I don't know. We don't. I mean, you have to drive the process. That's our job.
Okay.
I disagree with that.
I disagree.
How do you drive the process?
Our job, hold on, our job is to understand the process and then as a vendor decide, do we want to work in that process or not? And then move forward according to the process that you already agreed to. We're not here to tell anybody how anything's going down.
And help them shape their process the right way. We have to take a consultative approach and help them. They're not the ones dealing with these candidates in the marketplace every day. We are. We have to help them shape their process so that it's workable.
Okay.
Reed.
Okay. Whoa.
I got a question.
Let's qualify that answer.
Dude.
We are not the ones in the marketplace dealing with candidates every day. That's exactly what we're doing every day. I mean, you don't think that, A, we're not the only vendor you're working with, and, B, that we're not out talking to candidates on our own. I would say that we, on the inside, probably know the market better than you do because we're dealing on from it from multiple perspectives.
I wouldn't agree with that.
That doesn't earn you a commission.
So, Reed, are you an account executive for your firm, or are you a recruiter, or do you do both? Do you
I am an account manager on the contract
process?
Team.
Okay.
I'm an
How
account
many
manager.
Recruiters support you?
I have three.
Okay.
Reed, I like it so far. I think you're doing a great job. So my earlier LinkedIn invitation that's already on the way still stands. Good job on the show.
Thanks, Jerry. All I ever wanted was your love and affection. Come
yep.
on,
yep.
Jerry.
Yep. Yep.
Obviously more knowledgeable than the host of the show.
Do you ever have fights? Do you ever have fights with those three recruiters?
But are we talking about between them or between myself and them?
No, between yourself and them. You guys are letting
oh,
me
yeah.
down. Get on the phone. What do you think this is? Get off Facebook. Come on. I don't want to hear about your swamis or whatever you're talking about there.
A swami.
Of course I have fights with them. Come on, animal.
No, I don't know. I want to hear from you. You're the guest.
We
Tell
want
us.
A war story.
What was the last fight you had with these guys? What was the last time you scolded them for letting you down?
Well, I wouldn't say it was scolded them, but we had a situation with a candidate who actually was a contract-to-hire candidate for a client of mine.
Let me ask, hold on, are you going to get fired if you say something wrong on this show?
I'm not. I can hear him laughing in the other room. Come on, animal.
Okay. I'm worried. I don't want you to lose your job. Go ahead.
Yeah, my recruiter, Amanda, who's obviously listening, is probably the last one that I had a, even a little argument with.
Is
but
she
yeah,
hot?
I mean, we
I was waiting for that, Jerry.
Hold on a second. I didn't say that. I didn't even know what that was. I'm respectful.
It was me.
Go ahead.
It was an animal.
You know,
it was
let
Mike.
Talk. But, then let the guest talk, okay? We're almost out of time.
We got into it about a candidate that I thought we should throw out of the process, and she thought was a good candidate. She thought my client was being unreasonable in what they wanted, and I said, you know, this guy isn't locked down. We should toss him out of the process.
She was right. Go ahead. What happened?
She was right. We closed it. She was
yeah,
right.
Because the recruiter is always
Reed.
Right. They're out there on the front lines. They know these guys who have to suck up to their clients. They don't know anything.
Can we
all the recruiters are the ones that are dealing with the candidates
with
every day, and the candidates are running the process,
opinion.
So you said.
Reed,
you know
I have
you
a
all
question.
Talk at the same time. Go
yeah.
ahead, Alan Fleur. You know what, Alan?
Yeah.
Let me scold you, okay? You put on your call waiting music, and I had to go through everybody's line. Just to find out what
I apologize,
was doing
I apologize.
It, okay? Now I opened your line again a half hour later. Don't do
I
that
apologize.
To me again.
My apologies. I didn't know that happened. My apologies.
Go ahead.
Reed, with your recruiter there, do you let them come with you to visit the client or be on the calls?
Good question.
Good question. I do. And that's
and
if
okay.
I can at
and
all
how
swing
much-
it, that's my preference.
Good. And one other thing, a question from before. When you're dealing with your managers that say, I don't know, but bring me some more. I've noticed that there's a lot of people that they're telling you that because they're actually scared of the candidates you're bringing because they're fearful for their jobs. How do you handle that?
Oh, come on.
Bite me
I don't
down.
Understand what you're saying. So they're fearful of the candidates that I've given them so far?
You bring them good candidates, they tell you... They tell you, just find me some more. I don't like these. Bring me some more. I've seen on a lot of cases that the underlying reason is they're actually afraid these candidates are better than them.
So you're talking about bringing in candidates at the same level as my hiring manager? Usually my hiring managers are going to be above my candidates, and they're not
okay.
afraid of their
Look,
own
I got,
skills
I got
not being up
to par.
Another
question for you. Okay, everybody understands that. Derek Zeller, are you on the line? The guy calls in every – he claims he calls in every week and that I don't let him on. Are you on the line? Are you on the line?
Hopefully. Am I on the line?
Derek Zeller, is that you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You asked that question you just posted on Twitter, if you got the guts.
It wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement.
Yeah, it was more
I
want to
see. Here's what he says. He's backing out. I'll do it, okay?
No, I'll say it right now. I said he's not a recruiter. He's a sales manager.
Yeah.
He's never been
okay.
a recruiter, have he? Has he? Have you ever been a recruiter? Have you ever made 100 phone calls? Have you ever
Absolutely,
tried to get somebody to stay with
yes.
you on the line?
Yep. Right now, I am in a position as an account manager.
My LinkedIn profile doesn't say that.
Animal mentioned it. Animal mentioned my last job before this, recruiting occupational, physical, and speech therapist at my last position. And, yeah, that was 100 to 150 phone calls a day. It was.
That's why I left the company.
Can we get back to talking about your hot recruiter?
It wasn't not why I left the company.
Are your recruiters hot, though?
He's
okay,
got one hot one,
help.
It sounds like.
Yeah, hold on. If you want to see
that
us in the
pure
company,
Denver water she's drinking.
They got a lot of videos, okay? Now, look, I got to do some ads, okay? Now, there's a good friend of ours named Chris Russell. He has created.
Dude, wrap this up fast, man, because it's getting good, and now you're going Chris Russell?
I got to do it. It's almost I'll forget. He's created a feed where you can get all of the best recruiting blogs and best recruiting shows, including this one, sent to your iPhone for free. You go to recruitingnewsfeed.info. Recruitingnewsfeed.info. Don't take the secret jobs one if you don't want to pay 99 cents. This other one is for free. It's the feed, okay? Recruitingnewsfeed.info. Rebecca, do you want to do an ad? I'd like you to do one for yourself before I move on. Rebecca, are you here? I thought that was her asking you.
No, I think that, isn't that Amy?
Was that Amy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, you never said your name. How am I supposed to know? You sound the same.
You don't know my voice by now, Animal.
You're a trained radio host, man. You don't.
There is no hotter voice on this show than Amy Alla. How could you not know it's her?
Amy, do you have any other questions for this guy? Off the top.
Now I forgot what they were.
Okay, so let's
hey, Animal,
move on.
Rob McGahan.
Yeah, he's a
Rob
troublemaker.
McGahan.
He says this guy's running circles around me. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm doing a great job as a host of the show, and you guys are very good as callers.
You're doing
today
a good job.
As well, okay?
No, it's a good show. I do have a question.
Okay.
So
go
I'm
ahead,
looking
Amy.
At Young Reed's profile, and I feel really old now because he's
apparently just
a young fella. Why did you go into recruiting? Why did you make this choice so fresh and young out of college and probably still full of hope?
Yeah, so Amy, if you're looking at the profile there, we talked about these startups. I went to work for a startup straight out of college in Boulder. I thought I was going to be a human resources manager. That's what I was promised.
Why did you want to
be
that?
That was what my degree was in. That's what I thought I wanted to do, okay?
So you thought you were going to be a manager right out of school. Right, go ahead.
Did you know anybody that worked at that place?
I did, yep.
Who did you know there?
I actually I knew a guy who did the business development side for that startup who was a member at the golf course I worked at in college.
Okay.
Was it your dad's company, right?
No. Yeah, my dad has a company. No, it was not.
Okay.
But it was somebody he knew, Animal.
Go ahead.
So I got in with that.
I thought I was going to be handling all the human resources, and really all I ended up doing was recruiting because they were trying to ramp up, find people, so it was a little bit of trial by fire, but I found out I liked it.
How's come then it doesn't say anything about any recruiting at all on there?
I was just going to ask
Thank you, Jerry.
Because you're talking about developing a comprehensive hiring system, employment benefit packages, and
hey,
but I don't see anything about recruiting.
It's fair that that's not a very complete LinkedIn entry on my first job.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll give you that. So here's my question.
Go ahead.
Did you hire that hot recruiter that works for you, and did you hire her because she's hot?
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Which one is the hot one, though?
Okay. No. Wait,
and why isn't she the account manager? Why isn't Reed recruiting?
Yeah,
and why isn't she
question.
On the damn phone?
That's a good question. But look, you do have to go, or does your recruiters have to go? Like, I heard that these guys, as I said, are over-recruited, and they are retreating from the web, which you say is not true, and that you actually have to go to meetups and different kind of events where they are, so you can see them face-to-face and show them that you're not a goof before they're going to deal with you as a recruiter. Is that true or false?
It's extremely important. Meetups and user groups are crucial to what we do.
And they let you guys come. They don't say no recruiters allowed.
Some do. There are some that do, and then some were very welcome.
So do you
go
out
there?
I'm sorry.
Do you go? Do you go, or do your recruiters go?
I go, they go, we all go. It's an initiative that we have in our company.
Do you bump into other recruiters there?
Yeah. I know lots of the local recruiters in my space.
Is it like half recruiters, half computer guys?
It depends on which ones you're talking, but some are better than others, obviously. Yeah, a lot of them are very recruiter heavy, and some of them are not. You know, some of the smaller ones, some of the ones that recruiters think, oh, you know, there's not a lot of value here because there's only 15 guys, that might be 15 straight good developers, and you might want to go to that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, Johanna Rothman, I did an article about her some years ago, but I just looked at it yesterday, and she says you cannot trust a non-technical interviewer. You have to be a technical specialist to ask in-depth questions. So when you see these techies at a meetup, what do you talk to them about, since you can't really understand the depth of what they're doing?
Yeah, I talk to them about what they like and what they want in the companies they either work for or are looking at. Obviously, I don't write code, and they know that. They don't expect me to be able to discuss those types of things with them.
Okay, but they don't say, oh, recruiter dork, I'm going to stay away from him, because they're kind of uninteresting themselves. Is that
of
true
course,
they can't afford to reject
people? Of course they do
people?
Sometimes. Of course they think those things sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think we've all dealt with that.
Hey,
guys...
this just in, one of the recruiters at Reed's company is also a certified yoga instructor, Mike.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you want on the phone. I didn't know who you were talking about before, because I'm not evaluating him by looks, but you're wanting Ashley on the phone is what you want.
When I'm looking at someone, I don't even see gender, race, age.
Don't lie to us, Jerry.
Well, I don't see anything.
Well, that's Jerry. That's because you married way over your head.
Okay, last week.
Dude, that was my plan
from about age seven. Reed. We're almost out of time, okay? Last week, Casey came on, and I said, he told us engagement is the god that failed. You know, he tried to kind of ingratiate himself to these people. They turned around and left him for almost, you know, a drop in the bucket more. All they care about is money. Do you find that's true?
Yes.
So
I mean, not 100%, but the vast majority of what they care about is money. My recruiters do a good job also with that engagement piece, but when it comes down to it, they've got a contract offering them, you know, $50 an hour instead of 39. They're going to take that.
Okay, that's a substantial. What if it's 39 versus 41?
You know, I don't think they'll flee you for that unless that other company also has something more to offer.
Okay, so
most contractors stay.
Let me finish.
Hear me out.
Go ahead.
Most contractors don't just sit around waiting to get calls for $5 to go somewhere else. The majority of them want to stay on the project. They're hired for a specific effort, and they start looking around within a month or so. They know when the work's going to be done. Most of them stay until the work's done. Then they go for the best offer they can get each time. It's not a big job change, not a career move. This is how they do it.
Going based on what we were told last week, Reed, the time is almost up. Is there anything that, an intelligent recruiter, interviewer, should have asked you that we haven't asked you so far?
I think it's been pretty complete. I was hoping, you know, listening to some of the other shows, I was listening to Casey last week, and I'm so glad the piece came up about, you know, oh, recruiters are all scum, but I'm different. I don't think that's true at all, and I wish we had had a little time to talk about that, and I'm sure we will.
Go ahead.
We do.
You don't think that you're different, or you don't think recruiters are all scum?
I don't think recruiters are all scum.
Yeah, good point.
I don't think it's a matter of being, you know, oh, I'm different. I'm so different. No, it's just there's nothing wrong with the recruitment industry. We're not fleas out there. We're just doing our job.
Hey, Reed, can I clarify something?
Second. I didn't give this guy's Twitter link. It's at Reed, R-E-E-D-K-R-E-M-E-R, okay?
Reed, hold on. I need to clarify something for Ashley. This is important. This is about my personal brand. My personal brand is on the line here, dude.
No, wait a second, Jerry.
I only said that Ashley was a yoga instructor because Mike A. Stringer would want to know. I am a happily married man.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Has nothing to do with me.
I remember that one.
Mike A. Stringer.
He loves the personal interest.
I did want to know. In fact, I'm booking a trip to Denver right now. But listen, I can't stay for the after show.
Can I just say something real quick?
Listen, I can't stay for the after show.
You're differentiating yourself from last week's guest, but
yeah,
you look like you're his identical twin. I've never had
ever
two guests who look the more the same, one after the other.
I sent you better pictures, Animal.
Animal,
no,
I have to go.
Exactly
I can't
like
stay for the actual show.
Can I
say something?
Don't put him down. Okay. Dream,
I'm ready, Mike.
I got to tell you, I've enjoyed the show. It's been lots of
Animal.
Fun. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to participate in the after show, which
is
going to start right now.
Does he ever shut up?
Hey, Stringer, make it quick. I know you got to go.
Reed, are you still on the line?
No.
He hung up. I hope he listens to this afterwards.
I hope he actually understands that I'm not the oogler here. I barely even like attractive women.
Ooh.
I will fully admit that I'm the Animal Show oogler. I totally admit it.
Oogler.
Listen, the only mistake I think this kid is making is that he's putting himself too elevated in the process. And what I mean by that is, you know what? You're a vendor and a partner, but you're not inside. So it's not up to you to dictate our process. It's not up to you to, beyond your recommendation, push us into making a hiring decision. It's your job to provide us a candidate. Let us take that candidate through the process. If it's somebody that's got an offer in hand or it's something that we have to expedite for some reason, we'll certainly do that. But don't cry fire with every candidate you send me. And listen, you've done your job. Let us go through our process internally and make the right decision for us. Your decision is to make you a commission. Our decision is to make us a good hire.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Dude, I tell you what. You line up any recruiter that believes it's his or her job to be telling clients how this all goes down and what they need to do against me, I am kicking every one of their asses. Because I want to know what my customer expects, what's their process, how can I fit into that, and then I have to decide, is that a process I want in on or not?
Yeah.
And if it is, then I do it. And if it's not, then I say, okay, cool, thanks for the opportunity, but that's just not my style. So, yeah, our business is not to be telling people, or as Animal wonders, talk anybody into anything.
Either like after show.
So I got to run. Can I just give my scores real quick?
Yeah. Scores.
85 and 85. I think the guest did a really good job. And even though Animal wouldn't shut up at the end, I think he did a pretty good job today.
Yep. I thought it was a great show. Great show.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot. Hey, A-Stringer.
Yeah.
Dude, seriously, I need a C#.net developer in Boston. For real. Come on, man. Lay a resume on me.
So you know what?
From one of your other recruiters.
I've actually done a lot of .NET recruiting in Boston, although that goes back a year or two. So why don't you send me what you need and I'll see.
Hey,
you
I'll trade you a PHP developer.
No, you'll freaking pay me. No, you'll freaking pay me.
No. Dude, I can't afford. I'll tell you how it goes. Okay.
Listen, I want the residual income from helping
you. Give me the resume.
Contractor.
All right. Yep, send it to me, and I'll send you a brown bag of cash.
See you guys.
Untraceable. New Jersey style.
New Jersey style.
Yeah.
Like Resume Strategy said when I told my story about being my identity being stolen, you know, she said I need to hire a hitman. I wanted to say to her, can you not put those things out in public? I do live in New Jersey, after all.
All right, thanks for dropping by, man.
See you guys.
Later.
Did he give a number?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he give? I didn't hear it.
See, as a trained after-show host, I heard
it. I missed it. But what did he give?
85.
Okay,
85.
Both sides?
Yep.
Okay.
Maureen, how's it going? Glad to have you.
It's going good.
You enjoyed the show today, didn't you?
I did. I thought it was a lot of fun. I want to say something. I have been listening to radio shows the last week, all kinds of radio shows, and none of them compare to this show. So I'm going to give the Animal a 95 today.
Goodness.
And I'm going to give the guest a 95 today. I thought it was a great show.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, can I get my scores?
Yeah. Who is this? Oh,
Kathy.
With the, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
I'm in Denver. There are a lot of startups here. My brother's involved in one doing adult stem cell research, which is very cool. And anyway, I thought they were both great. I agree with Maureen, and I'd give them both 95. And I'm doing a search for a developer for you right now in Boston, and I'll send it over to you.
Send me one that's heard about, needs it, wants it, and is ready to go. I need a legit contractor that wants a gig now. But thanks. I love it. So, Kathy, why so high on the scores? I mean, that's as high as Maureen's scores, which are typically the highest ones always, so we always throw them out and the low ones out.
Because I thought that they were both well-spoken. I thought they were both, you know, it was a lively conversation, but it was intelligent. It was,
okay.
You know, touched. I thought it was really good.
Okay.
Really good.
All right. Hope your voice gets better.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, I have a date, so I'm legitimate now.
All right. When is your date?
I'm not telling.
See, then that doesn't count. I believe it has to be a published public date.
No, I don't publicize it. But
in my opinion, you are still not engaged.
Okay.
Sorry, Kathy. I'm a bottom-line, hardcore kind of guy.
It's okay. Goodbye.
But, hey, congratulations on almost being engaged officially. See, I hope you feel better.
You go, Kathy.
Thanks. Bye.
Just got a couple scores in from the internet from Karen. 90 and 90. Man.
Good.
Goodness. Alan, what do you think of the show today?
I liked it. It was good. I'll give him a 90. I'll give Animal an 87. I think Animal kept stepping on himself too much. And also, I can never go above the score that I got. So, you know, I mean, come on. But it was good. I agree with you and Mike that he's a little bit above. Although I will say that, let me ask you, Jerry, I mean, anybody else, if you keep questioning, if you know, I'm not saying it's ours to change their model, but let's be honest, most of the time, the way that we get in is from a hiring manager that's sick and tired of the way that they're running their own processes. Not that we're going to change them, but there's been times when people have, by simply you doing your work the right way, Jerry, you influence it. Not that you're trying to, but you make them better.
Well, I think with contracting, a lot of companies, they want somebody that can be there Monday. They have a project going on. They need to put some people. All I'm saying is I'm always looking for that to already be the case. I'm not telling any company how it's going down. I gave up educating them about the marketplace back in like 92. They know what's going on. I'm not their first recruiter. I'm here to help them find what they need. Period. I don't try to convince them to bring somebody in that they don't want. Once somebody said, if my customer can give me a legitimate explanation of why this guy is not a fit, maybe it's he's never done any WPF, or he doesn't have any experience in a manufacturing environment at all. I'm not going to try to convince them that that doesn't matter. They've already decided. Their first impression is the guy's out. So my first impression, he's out, and I move on. And that's why I make a shitload of placements. I'm not badgering customers into taking number two. I'm not telling them what they need to do if they're going to work with me. You know,
I don't
Jerry, did you see Tom gave you a 95? New
Tom who?
Tom Bolt.
Oh, hey, Tom.
95. We have a new category.
I don't know.
Judging you.
Tom,
you're
I don't know if
judged,
I can.
Judge, Jerry. You're
I don't know
judged.
If I can accept that.
Okay.
I just don't know.
It's out there.
Oh, my. I'm kind of blushing a little bit. Wow.
Let's close up shop, okay? Before
you know, I don't know. We may just have to end it.
How do you
end it on
that?
Who else has a score for us? Amy?
Amy has a score. I'm going to give Reed a 92.
There
I think he did a great job. I really do. And especially for as early as he is in his career. I was actually kind of surprised looking at his profile and seeing you know, I have shoes older than him. So, but I think he did a good job. The one thing
I think my last blog post on my blog is older than him when he got started. I think my blog is staler than his career.
And because I had I mentioned that something about him just reminds me of Steph from Pretty in Pink. Anybody remember that but me? I just see him with a popped collar, and you know. And then I was looking at his profile and realized that Pretty in Pink means nothing to him. John Hughes, it was just freaky. So, but I think he did a good job. I didn't like that he seemed to agree with everybody. I kind of wanted him to push back and actually disagree with someone a little more.
But I felt like
when you and Animal were saying completely opposite things, he's like, yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. Like, no, they're not both true.
That happens more on a second or third interview. The first time, they're scared to death.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he did great. He did great for being, you know, the level of experience he has and first time on the show, all that. So, good job. Animal, I'm going to give 87 because I think he should have let you guys do what they did. He interrupted a lot today.
I think that there was a general feel-good mood on the show, and we've got some inflated scores going on here.
A little bit.
Everybody feels good today, don't we? Spring's around the corner.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
I think it was a good show.
You know, Reed score, year I graduated high school. I'm feeling all, you know, kind of nostalgic now in my old ladyhood. So.
You know, I think any company that has a guy like Reed or Casey from last week, people that are just enthused about, hey, they are good at this. I would rather have someone with more energy than less. I'd love to have guys like Reed and Casey on my team all day long. You know, a dozen of them. And like for Mike A. Stringer's benefit, a couple of the recruiters that work with him too then. For him. Not me.
No, he was very enthusiastic. I'm sure he does a great job because you can tell that he loves what he does, which is great. That's half the battle, I think.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Who's typing? What are you typing? Come on. Tell us about it. What are you typing? An email? A job offer?
Well, I was going to send you a Boston candidate, but that's okay.
Yeah. A Boston person that really wants a gig. I don't need phone numbers and names of, you know. If there's a legitimate Boston C-sharp developer looking for a gig, I'll hire him.
Well, anybody else have any thoughts? Somebody that won't move to Redmond, I'll send him away.
Yeah. Congratulations on joining the Microsoft team.
Thank you.
Very
honorable. I have been assimilated.
I was just going to say a new board member.
I know.
Nice.
But I work for the scrappy little Windows division, so it's awesome. I'm not with the cool kids in Xbox or anything crazy like that.
Who's the recruiter? Why am I not thinking of her name right now? Also, all over social media, part of our crowd. It was with ERE. You know who I'm talking about, Maureen?
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Not Teresa? No.
Why am I? I can't. I feel
Amy.
So...
Was her name Amy?
Amy Beth Hale. No. Yes. I work with her.
Yeah, okay.
Not directly, but we're, yeah. We're in the same,
couple of Amys.
Vicinity.
You guys must be having some interesting conversations about Yahoo these days.
Yeah.
Amy, you must.
There's some backstory there I probably can't get into, but yeah, there's conversations.
Cool.
Steal them now.
Doesn't Microsoft require the same thing? No.
You know, that's what's interesting about a large company. This is the first time I've recruited for a massive company like this. And, you know, like my daughter says, well, I don't understand why somebody wouldn't want to talk to a Microsoft recruiter. Like, who doesn't want to take that call? And the people who don't want to take that call are the people who are busy fielding calls from Google and Facebook. So, you know, it's not any easier for us necessarily just because we have this big brand.
But can you make the surface a little bit better?
Working on it, man. That's the hardware team. I don't support those guys, but
I mean,
work alongside them, so I'll mention that.
Do me a favor. Yeah, talk to them. Let me know, because I went to Nexus. This is just...
Okay, anybody else have anything interesting going on?
Yeah, I'm talking at the ERE Spring Convention.
You are?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. About what?
Yeah. Basically, how you better get your ducks in a row to prevent your company from suffering what the dot-com boom problem was, and why you better be aware that the talent crisis is just, you know, past. There's a whole lot of other things your folks better be looking at, including paying your recruiters and reorganizing your stuff and doing a whole bunch of other things. It's kind of fun.
Very cool. Where is that? San Diego?
Yeah, it was funny, Jerry, when I sent the proposal over, Todd sent me a reply, said, hey, this is good. You actually have some suggested solutions instead of just do better recruiting. I was like, but shouldn't you have a lot of solutions? I mean, come on.
True.
Love to meet anybody from the group that's actually going to go to this thing.
Where are they going to be at?
San Diego.
Oh, okay.
I know.
You'll probably go.
Yeah, I probably can't go.
I rarely cross the Mississippi.
I know all you like folks aren't like allowed into like Southern California, but that's like okay.
Dude.
Shaw. Wayne's World.
All right, guys, I gotta go.
Bye, everybody.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Have a great week.
See you later.
Later.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.